Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy.
Verse 21. 5 through 9. This is the last of our series of looking at Old Testament stories that are teaching us New Testament truths. And I absolutely love what this story teaches. It is not a pleasant story in the Old Testament. But as Jesus does here, and listen to me now, as Jesus does with our lives as we surrender over to Him, Jesus gives beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's an old song, an old spiritual song, an old African-American spiritual song that says, "All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life." Right? And that's what I want to preach to you this morning, is how Christ has come to make something beautiful. Ooh, this sounds good. You ready? Christ has come to make something beautiful out of our brokenness. And He can do that. Christ desires to do that. Not only can He do that, He is willing to do that. He desires to make something beautiful out of our brokenness. And so I said all that, and I'm going to read this verse, and you're going to say, I don't see that in this verse, but we'll get there. I promise. We're learning New Testament truths from Old Testament stories. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 through 9. The title of the message this morning is Look and Live. Numbers 21, 5 through 9. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Let's pray about it, and then we'll talk about it. Father God, thank you for Holy Scripture, but most of all, thank you for your living word, Jesus Christ, that is among us right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray that I would speak your words to your people succinctly and concisely, and that they would have ears to hear and hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that when we come to you, we offer you our woundedness, our brokenness. We offer you our failures and our sin, and you don't reject us. You don't turn aside from us. You don't turn away from us, but you draw us near so that you might heal us. Anoint my lips to say all the words that you would have me to say, and Jesus be glorified through this message today, I pray. In Christ's name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Point number one this morning is sin's unintended consequences. Sin has unintended consequences. Scripture says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. And that's why sin is tempting, because there is temporary satisfaction, temporary pleasure, temporary fulfillment in sin. But Scripture declares later on in Romans 6:23, for instance, that the wages of sin is death. James said it like this in James chapter 1, verse 15. "Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." Paul says in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." We've all sinned. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have all experienced the consequences of those sins. Can anybody say amen right there? I have felt the weight of my own actions. I have felt the consequences of my own sins. The tricky part about sin is that during the temptation that draws us towards sin, it seems like we struggle to have the foresight of where that will lead us to. There's a theologian that says that sin will always take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And that's right. Sin will always take you further than you want to go, and sin will always keep you longer than you want to stay. I'm here to tell you first this morning that sin has consequences, and all have sinned. If we apply it to our Old Testament story this morning, we could say it like this. We've all been snake bit in one way or the other. In the children of Israel's day, their sin is that they backbite, they gossip, they talk bad about God, and they talk bad about Moses. But usually, when we talk about a sin like that, it's a superficial thing. It is not the root of the problem, it's the fruit of the problem. Let me say that again. Usually sins that appear obvious to us are rooted in something different. So the children of Israel's issue isn't gossip. The children of Israel's issue is that they don't trust God. And so because they doubt, because they don't trust God, that doubt comes out of their mouth as descending speech and gossip and backbiting. Are you with me? So usually when we deal with sins in our life, it will manifest in a different way than what's actually happening in our heart. Have you ever heard the saying, hurt people, right? So usually when someone is hurting another with their words or with their actions, it's because there's a deep wound inside of their own soul. So really what we need to take care of is we don't need to tell that person to behave themselves and stop hurting people. What really needs to happen is that healing that needs to come to the inside of them. Are you with me yet? So we need to be careful of those snakes. We need to be careful of those things that would lead us to get snake bit by sin. I want to say this about this text. God has transformed the way that I read Scripture. And now I read all Scripture in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see in this narrative, the writer says that God sends these serpents. But I want to declare to us something that I believe with all my heart this morning. Just because something happens doesn't mean it's God's will for it to happen. Amen. I want to say this to us this morning. You heard me say this before. We are more punished by our sin than for our sin. We're more punished by our sin than for our sin. What does that mean? That means that God has created gravity, right? And so if we climb to this top of this belfry that needs $150,000 worth of work, did you see how I worked that back into the narrative? And we'll do it right before we close so you remember that bucket's in the back. If we climb to the top of this belfry, God has created gravity, and we toss ourselves off the edge of that, that has consequences. That doesn't mean that God did it. That was not God's will for us, for that to happen. But we went against, some of my theologian friends would say this, we went against the grain of love. We went against the law of God. And because we went against it, it had unintended consequences. The wages of sin is death. I want to tell us to be careful of these snakes. I want to tell us to be careful of the sin that would tempt us or lead us astray and away from God. I felt like when I was preparing these notes that I needed to warn some young people that would be in the house today. To be careful what you partake part in, what you give yourself over to. And what happened, and this is a rabbit trail, so help me get back here in a minute. But there's a story about Abraham and his nephew Lot. And Scripture says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't go to Sodom at first. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And I want to say it this way, if you listen to me. And like I said, I felt like this was for young people this morning to say this. We need to be careful not to pitch our tent towards sin. To flee even the appearance, what Scripture would say, to flee even the appearance of evil. Because it wasn't very long after Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom that he ended up living in Sodom, right? We need to make sure that we don't set ourselves up for failure. And what I really wanted to say, and this is it, and we'll move on. But we need to make sure that we heed the still small voice of God in our heart. And when the Holy Spirit says no, when the Holy Spirit says run, when the Holy Spirit says don't, we need to be careful to listen to that still small voice. Because if we don't, will probably end up snake bit. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody that's old enough to know. Somebody that's old enough that you've heard that still small voice that told you to run, that told you to go, but you didn't listen. And maybe you're still living in the consequences of those actions right now. Make sure and heed that still small voice. Let me say this to get me back on track. Just because something happens doesn't mean it's God's will for it to happen. God has a promised land for the children of Israel. God did not bring them to the wilderness to die. God brought them to the wilderness that they might enter into the promised land. But somewhere along the way, they lose sight of God's promises. Somewhere along the way, they lose sight of the goodness of God and they begin to complain against God and against Moses. And again, the root of the sin is not the complaint. The root of the sin is this mistrust that God is not who he says he is. We are not who God says we are. And I'm not sure that God is trustworthy. Isn't this what the serpent said to Eve in the garden? Did God really say? In this context, did God really say he has a promised land for you? In Eve's context, did God really say that you will surely die? Now, sin has consequences. Sin has unintended consequences. But I'm not here to just fill you with bad news today. There's plenty of bad news in the world today. Amen. I'm here to give you some good news. The first thing I want to tell you on the good news spectrum is this. That Christ has come to reverse the curse. Numbers chapter 21, we're still there. Let's look at 7 and 8. Therefore the people came to Moses. They've been snake bit. They came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." They recognized their sin. "For he has spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." Look and live. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3:13, and this is where we make the turn of the New Testament lesson that we can learn here. Paul says in Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" On the cross, this is the most important thing I'm going to tell you this morning, so please hear this. On the cross, Jesus takes on the curse of sin. On the cross, Jesus experiences the full weight and wages of sin. On the cross, God in Christ reverses the curse. He becomes cursed so that you and I can become the righteousness of Christ in him. Every sin that was ever committed was sinned into Jesus on the cross. He bore our sin. Amen. You ought to be able to say amen right there. Christ on the cross bore our sin. Let me say it this way. If you can't say amen there, try to say amen to this one. Christ on the cross bore our sin so that we do not have to. This is where grace comes from. How can God be gracious to us? Why do we not just live under the condemnation of our own sin? Because Christ on the cross has bore our sin, bore our infirmities, bore our weaknesses. And as we put our trust in him, as we look to him, we live. As we look to him, we experience his victory over sin. He took on sin, became victorious over sin, that we might live in the victory that he has won for us. Amen. Listen to John 3. I know we all know John 3:16, and I'm going to include it in here. But did you know this was before it? In John 3, chapter 3, verse 14, listen to what Jesus says. And this is the tie-in. You ready? "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Listen now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Just because something happens doesn't mean it's God's will for us. God's will for us is life, and life more abundantly. God's desire for you is not to live in a snake bit state. God's desire for you is the promised land. God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish. God's will is that you would not perish, but that you might experience life and life more abundantly. And now the cross, this is the most beautiful thing. Now the cross that is the symbol of man's greatest sin. Did you know that? Did you know the cross is a symbol of mankind's greatest sin? Because on the cross, mankind committed deicide. We killed God on the cross. Now the cross, the symbol of man's greatest sin, the cross has become a beacon of hope and light and life. God has transformed what the cross is. The cross ought to be a symbol of death and destruction. The cross ought to be a symbol of pain and agony. The cross ought to be a symbol of how violent and ugly human beings can be. But when we look at the cross today, we see it. It has been transformed by Christ as a symbol of love and forgiveness, as a symbol of hope and life. And this is what Christ can do with us. In our weakness, in our hurt, in our destruction, in our sin, God has come not to condemn, but to save, not to curse, but to bless, not to seek revenge, but God has come to reconcile. Amen and amen. Look and live. Point number three. I'm almost done. I've been doing good lately. I'm so proud of me. I think that's two Sundays in a row I said that. Pride cometh before destruction. Help us. Point number three. Numbers 21:9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when that one looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So I'm not just drawing on this story. As we saw in John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus draws on this story. Jesus says he is the one that is lifted up. Later on in the Gospels, and there's some of you that can't take this in its fullest meaning. So we'll give you a few more months, maybe years for some of you. Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And we're not ready for that, because we're not sure that we want all people drawn to Jesus. But we must move on for time's sake. Jesus is the one that's lifted up. And as we look to him, we live. Listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 4. I'll just say what Hebrews says, because we're not sure who wrote Hebrews. A lot of people give the Apostle Paul credit for that, and that's fine. But a lot of Hebrews, and this is all extra, a lot of Hebrews doesn't look like things that Paul would write. But we'll give him credit this morning, I guess, for ease's sake. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, listen now, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, you ready? Looking unto Jesus, look and live. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Just as Moses took that bronze serpent and set them on a pole in the wilderness, and it's still our healthcare symbol. If you see a healthcare symbol, it's the pole with a bronze serpent going around. It's a callback to the story in Numbers. A callback to the story in Numbers that Jesus brings into his story in John chapter 3, and that the writer of Hebrews brings into his story in Hebrews chapter 12. I think God's trying to tell us something. Look and live. As long as we're focused on our sins, we will not experience life. I'll give you one more chance. As long as we're focused on our sins, we will not experience life. As long as we're focused on our shortcomings, we will not experience life. We'll only experience anxiety. We will only experience unrest. We will only ever experience the backbiting and the gossip of the children of Israel. I want to say this in 2023. As long as we're only focused, as long as we're only looking on the issues that our world has, as the problems around us, we will never live in the peace of God. God has life for us. And as we look to him, we live looking unto Jesus, who is, the writer of Hebrews says, the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean, author and finisher? I want to say it this way. It's improper English, but our English teacher is not here this morning, so I can say whatever I want without any judgment. Thank God. You please tell her I said that. Unfortunately, so am I. Author and finisher. I want to say starter and completer. Jesus started the work and he completes the work. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. That takes all kinds of pressure off of me. If I want to live in the life that God has for me, I don't have to work harder. I have to look and live. I don't know if you're with me or without me. I just feel like preaching this morning, though. Okay, 325 to be exact. If I'm not experiencing the life that God has for me, I need to change where my focus is. It's not that I'm not reading my Bible enough. It's not that I need to pray more. It's that my focus is wrong. And when my focus gets right, I will probably read more scripture. But I can't get the cart before the horse, or I'll live in self-righteousness. And sometimes what self-righteousness does is it makes me trust me instead of trusting God. That's what the children of Israel were doing. Did you hear what the children of Israel said? We're backing all the way up now. We're backing up to 10 o'clock, and it's 10:23. Backing all the way up. They said, did we come out here to die in the wilderness? And then they said, we hate this worthless bread. You know what that worthless bread was? It was the manna that God miraculously provided for them every morning. But instead of giving thanks, instead of living in gratitude, they lost trust in the promises of God. They lost trust in the goodness of God. How did they forget? How did they forget the plagues of Egypt that led them to be free? How did they forget the Red Sea parting so that they could go through on dry land and then the Egyptian army behind them was engulfed in the sea? How did they forget the cloud by day and the fire by night that led them through the wilderness? How did they forget? How did they forget Moses on Sinai bringing down on stone tablets the words of God and smoke and fire coming down because the power of God engulfed Sinai? How could they forget when they complained about the manna the first time and God sent them a load of quail until they looked like me? And also, how many quail do you have to eat to get fat? Golly, that's a lot of quail. But how easily we forget. We can look at the children of Israel and say, how do they forget? But then I need to hold up a mirror and say, how do I forget? How do I forget the faithfulness of God? How do I forget where Jesus found me? And now I think, okay, you brought me out. Now I got it. Go do your thing. I'm good. God is calling us this morning to refocus. God is calling us this morning to look and live. To begin to heed that still small voice that guides us away from sin. But if we're already stuck in the cycle of sin that brings death, Christ is inviting us to look to Him and live. If you can see the destruction of sin in your life this morning, Christ is calling you to look to Him and live, to refocus. Refocus away from your frailty, your issues, your problems, your weaknesses, your sin, your shortcomings, and to look to Him and live. If you're living in self-righteousness and you find that you have a complaining spirit, a backbiting spirit, a spirit that likes to spew gossip, as the kids would say nowadays, a spirit that likes to spill the tea. If you find yourself in that state this morning, maybe it's time for you to refocus. Oh, I know it's you then. You didn't say amen. I know it's you. Maybe we need to refocus. Maybe we need to look and live. See, my desire, my commitment, my call, and the vision and dream that God has given me for this place is that we would be a beacon of life out into the world. That we would be a beacon of light out into the world. That we would be rivers in the desert and away in the wilderness. But let me say it this way and we'll close. We cannot give away what we do not have. If we are not living in the life of God, we can't give the life of God. Look and live. So maybe some of you need to come out of your sin today, but maybe some of you just need to refocus. To refocus on Jesus. That's me. Man, the world can distract me. My own issues can distract me. The day-to-day grind can distract me. And God is giving us opportunity this morning to refocus, to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him became the cursed one, endured the cross, despising the shame. On the cross, Jesus took our sin and shame that we might experience His life and life more abundant.
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. as well as throughout the week. We offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.